Hi, this is Jane, ambivalent love addict, grateful member of Slay. And we started this because the answer to how to have kind, loving, satisfying relationships, which people ask me about all the time, the answer is in our traditions and our concepts. And everything I'm going to talk about, I didn't make any of it up. I'm quoting or paraphrasing the Conference Approved Literature of our fellowship, AA or Al-Anon, and we did take a group conscience to include those because we don't have any conference-approved literature on our traditions and our concepts, except for our starting and meeting chapter, which I highly recommend anybody read. Because one of the things it says in that starting and meeting chapter, it talks about how the disease of sex and love addiction is it, we all know that, right? It warps our perception and our reaction and our behavior. And in that chapter, it talks about how our meetings are, in fact, the training ground, how we learn to practice both to connect with ourselves and how we learn to treat one another in a kind, loving, satisfying way that won't interfere with their sobriety or with ours. And that he does a really good job. He brings up three really concrete and common ways that happens. And so one, that's why it's so important, I think, to understand what those traditions are, which is basically, you know, how we apply spiritual principles to our interactions with one another, and then our concepts of service, which is how we apply spiritual principles to carrying the message. And those all apply also to emotional intimacy, because any emotional intimacy we're going to have, sexual, emotional, just social, is the problem is I'm going to be in it. There's no addict-free interaction with other people. And if I practice in the meeting those spiritual principles with other people who are committed to recovery, God will send me the practice, the opportunity I need to work through the hurts of my past and learn how to behave in a kind, loving way, honest way, that will, then all the work is done. When I go out there to have a romantic relationship, and it's sort of like meetings are our training ground, and dating or our, if it's in a marriage to any romantic relationship, that's the marathon, okay? That's the race. In the meeting, that's the practice. That's the workout at the gym. That's your 20 minutes of cardio. That's your building your muscles. That's where we practice. So that we go to engage basically with our drug, which is what it really is, either to connect in a particular way or to avoid in a particular way, most of the hard work will be done. And so there's plenty of opportunities to practice in the meeting. Trust me, there always are. So one of the things we've been doing is Concept 10, which talks about how we have different roles, right? Because we all walk into the meeting just like we walk into a relationship. And I'm going to keep trying to make that connection because I think that connection hasn't been made clearly enough. We all walk into a meeting with the anger and hurt of our past. We all walk into a meeting with the fear of what interacting with other people did to us. And we all walk into a meeting with needs. What do we need? We need to be heard. We need to be treated disrespectfully. We need an opportunity to connect, whatever that is. Those three things we are going to take with us wherever we go. Just like any relationship we go into, a sponsor relationship, a sponsee relationship, I'm going to bring the anger and hurt of my past. I'm going to bring the fear of the present. And I'm going to bring the needs that I have. And what these 30, well, we all have that, right? Maybe somebody in this room doesn't, but my experience is most of us do. And what those 36 spiritual principles do is they give me a response to all my anger, to all my fear, to all my needs that will always work out better for me. Now, again,
that's
I didn't make
five
any,
minutes.
Oh, man. I didn't make any of this up, okay? I think I'll go to 7, maybe. I did have one point I did want to make. So the very first thing is, what do? I walk in the room angry, scared, and wanting stuff. That's a given, all right? So what do? One of the things I make sure I do is I look at the part of our program that says, this is in Concept 12. It says, we are never personally punitive. And then again, like in our AA literature, it says we avoid fault-finding and criticism like the plague. It even says, okay, it says everybody's going to do that, but we must make an amend immediately lest we bear the price of this free. Meaning, being angry with others, being rude to others, being cruel to others, being punitive to others, our actual sobriety depends upon trying to avoid that and fixing it when we can. And that's really hard, right? Because I grew up with a lot of anger. I'm going to see if I can sneak, maybe I'll just see if I can sneak this reading in. This is from Curse Change Al-Anon, October 26. I remember others' unkind words vividly. Criticism sent me reeling. Snickers crippled me for days. It never occurred to me that I was being abused or that the harsh words could be untrue. Everyone just seemed to know just how wrong I was, and my identity was bound up in a knot of shame. My self-esteem sank lower and lower. I, in turn, treated others cruelly. I found it great fun to assault someone's character in the company of friends. For a few minutes, I felt better about myself, but not for long, and only at other people's expense. Gossip never enriched anyone's character. It was only an excuse to avoid focusing on myself. Today's reminder, many of us tend to react rather than act. And when we hurt, we may want to strike out and hurt someone else. In Al-Anon, we learn that we can interrupt the automatic response long enough to decide how we really want to behave. Someone else's unkindness is no reason for me to lower my standards for my own behavior. When I take responsibility for my actions, regardless of what other people do, I become someone I can be proud of. And when I feel good about myself, it's much easier not to take insults personally. Quotation, if one throws salt at thee, thou wilt receive no harm unless thou hast sore places, unquote. That's a Latin proverb. And so what I'm trying to say is in our literature, in AA, in Al-Anon, that the first thing that has to be off the table is hurtful, critical, attacking behavior. Because A, it blocks me out from God, it's a threat to my sobriety. B, it shuts down any possibility of kind, loving, honest, open relationships. And we see that, right? What happens when you come to a meeting and one person is unkind, one person is punitive, one person is critical and attacking? What happens in the room? Everybody shuts down. No one wants to be vulnerable. Nobody wants to be honest. They'll still share because that's the purpose of anger and abuse. It is a control mechanism. It's a mechanism of all addictions, but also of love avoidance. So now what do we do? What if I'm angry? What if I'm hurt? And again, we come back to what we talked about at Concept 10. If you want to hear me talk about it, you can just hear the tape from last week. I do have things I can do with my anger. I do have things I can do with my fear. I do have things I can do with my need. And I will continue to describe those. But what is always off the table is being personally punitive. And as I said, it's everything I'm saying, you're going to go back, it's our literature, it's everywhere. And also watch for it. Watch what happens in a meeting. Watch what happens in your relation, in an interaction, when someone decides to be personally punitive, and see how that in and of itself is totally the antithesis of open, loving, kind relationships. And with that, I pass, you can stop the recording now.
Thank you so much, Jane. Thank you so much. I'll turn off the recording.